Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
Ja, da sind wir erstmal. Ein frohes neues Jahr. Happy New Year in die Runde. Dennis, bist du gut ins neue Jahr gestartet?
Hervorragend. Vielen Dank. Ich habe ja auch von dir, ich habe es direkt auch hier, das schöne Geschenk habe ich bekommen ja von dir. Vielen Dank nochmal. Und ja, war alles easy going. Ich kann mich nicht beschweren.
Sehr schön. Ja, auch sehr ruhig. Ich habe auch ein schönes Geschenk. Ich habe es allerdings nicht an, auch von dir bekommen über die Feiertage. Aber auch sehr gut ins neue Jahr gestartet. Und ich freue mich, dass wir direkt loslegen mit einer International Podcast. And now for this, I switch to English for our guest. Yes, because we have today an international guest. So sorry for my English again before for our listeners and for my guest. I enjoyed almost every week on this platform, or almost every second day. And a lot of people ask us about this platform. So we are very happy to welcome you, Kevin from FOCT.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, Marcus, Dennis. Thanks for having me. It's a happy new year to you and to all the listeners, and also very happy to meet you guys.
Great.
So where do we meet you, Kevin? Where are you from?
I'm from Paris. Mm-hmm. Originally, I grew up in Normandy, but lived in Paris for a while and studied in the south of France, mid of France, and right now I'm based out of Paris.
Nice. How was New Year in Paris? I've never been there. Is there a big on the tour?
Well, actually, I think there is a big firework, but I was not in Paris actually for the New Year. I was down where I studied. I have a couple of friends living there, so it was very low key family, you know, family friends kind of celebration. I don't know how is it in Germany. Like, is it a big thing, or do you do like big parties, or?
Where Marcus is always a party.
Always. I think that I have to say, because it's always the question, how do you celebrate? It's I think today I answered this four times, but I say I think it changed. So from when I was younger in the 90s, then I go to party, but now I enjoy it, as you said, with friends, family, and
close friends, and you just enjoy times with the rest.
I think a typical German thing, we also did it, is raclette. Eating raclette.
I did the same. That's the best season, right?
Yes. Yeah, as I said, we are happy to have you. You are from FOCT, so maybe you can start to introduce a bit about yourself. What are you doing? Who are you? That the listeners know.
Yeah, of course. So I'm one of the three co-founders of VOCT. So there's three people behind the company at the beginning: myself, Quentin, the CEO, and Lucas, our CTO. And just briefly about me before we go into VOCT and why we're doing that. I have a background in e-commerce. I have some ties with Germany because I was working for a German launch company. It's called Jumia. It's e-commerce in Africa. But it was launched by Rocket Internet, that you might know, you know, the guys behind Zalando and these kind of companies. Exactly. So it's, I spent 5 years doing e-commerce there, so between France and Africa. So very good experience, you know, met a lot of different people, a lot of cultures, a lot of different ways of working. So super interesting. And then after that, I work a little bit in a French company called Mano Mano, who also work in Germany. If you're doing some, you know, work in your house or DIY or these kind of things, you know, gardening tools, etc., you can buy from them. They're very good. And after that, I launched the first startup, didn't work. I think that's the life of any entrepreneurs. You start, you try. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think that, you know, the journey is more important than anything. And then we came up with the VOCT ideas. Mm. And that was beginning of 2021 when I was with Quentin already and we met Lucas and we thought, okay, let's do that.
So what brought you to that idea? Like, did you analyze the market? That's what's needed right now. Is it like the typical 8 wines and 800 beers and this is what we want to do, or what
so basically the idea was that we we really had a conviction that we still have that e-commerce needs something new, because we have, you know, very, very good companies. I mean, Amazon, Zalando, all these companies, like they're extremely good in e-commerce, but it's very kind of boring in the sense that if you don't know what to buy, if you're passionate about something, you don't really have your place on that. You don't have a place for you. There is no place for you on, I think, on the regular e-commerce. It's very good if you know what you want to buy. If you're looking for a specific thing, you can buy it on Amazon. Like, it takes 5 seconds. You're very happy and you receive it the next day. That's perfect. But that's good if you want toilet paper or a computer, right? But if you're passionate about something like we all are, there was something missing. So that was the first point. And the second point was we really had wanted to do something around video. So for us, it was like, how do we solve this boringness issue? It's through videos. You look at, you know, the new platform, Twitch, TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube, all of these platforms. Like, we consume a lot of video content. And also video, but also voice. I mean, we're doing a podcast right now. It's because people, you know, like to hear, they like to read, but they also want to hear. They want to have kind of this interaction with the creators that, that you are, that our sellers are, right? So that was the starting point. I call it the space has to link e-commerce, video, and passion. And analyzing a bit the market, what was being done in France. And we were seeing things on Facebook groups where people were doing lives, selling Pokemon cards, selling fashion, selling other items. We thought, okay, that looks like something quite cool. So let's see if that's going to work, if we can improve the experience. And this is how we went about it, starting with Pokemon cards in France. Very low key, saying, okay, you know, very humble around it. Like, there are communities, we are here to serve these passionate people, but how can we have a product that helped them? And that was the starting point, you know, one live after the other, improving the product. And here we are today. So
you start in France and then with Pokemon?
Exactly. Pokemon, then we expanded to other, you know, categories like Magic the Gathering cards, Yu-Gi-Oh, all trading card games. Sports cards are not that much a big of a thing in France, to be honest. Even though I actually also did a podcast with people from a sports podcast in French, in France. So, like, funnily enough, it looks like something that I think it's smaller than it is in Germany, but it was very, very nice. They're very good people. Mm-hmm. And then we also, you know, tried to do some figurines, toys and figurines, like Funko Pops, these kind of things. That was at the beginning. Then we opened in the UK, in May, in Germany in September, then Netherlands at the end of September, and Spain in October. Okay. So we're right now in these five markets. We mostly focus on trading card games, but as we're discussing offline before the call, we also sell other categories. We have now sneakers. We have fashion that is starting. And I think the common point, because you were asking, Dennis, like, why can't I sell vinyls or this kind of thing? You can sell everything on Vought as soon as it has something related to passion. Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense, right? If you want to sell a washing machine, you can sell it on Amazon or on eBay. That's going to work, right? But if you want, because no one is really passionate about washing machine. But as soon as you're passionate and
my mother, she's big fan.
But maybe she can start some lives on the platform. But my point here is the experience of live is really around the interaction. It's like, how do you talk with your people even before being buyers or sellers? They're actually passionate, like, collectors and passionate people. So you could actually do a live and not even like not sell that much. It's just like you're going to have a good time. And I think that's why this is the reason why people, you know, test the platform, is because they want to have fun and they want to say, okay, maybe I just pass by, not going to buy anything. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But I know that the promise is I will be in a live with other people that are passionate about a given category, about sports card, about soccer cards, football cards, or whatever, and I'm gonna have a discussion. And I think that's really the starting point. So as soon as you have this, you can sell anything, I think. So vinyls would probably come by. And actually, what we see is sometimes we think, okay, let's start with that category, but actually you realize that communities come and say, okay, I want to sell that. So okay, let's do it. You can do it. Like, why would I prevent you from doing that? And they do it, and then it works well, and then other people come, etc. And stuff. So I think it's really the community makes the platform and makes what they want to sell on it.
Yeah, I agree. So because what I really like, and I don't know, you start with Focked in time of COVID, or then you said 2021, or was it?
Yeah, a little bit after. I mean, after the big hit, like it was not really lockdowns, but it was, you know, semi lockdown and a bit afterwards. Yeah, but it was depending on country to country. Yeah.
Because also there was the interaction in COVID, of course, was also missing.
Limited, yeah.
Yeah. But what I really like what you said, if you have you like the product and you can tell something, but also I like the interaction when you show the backside, show the corner, show it closer. So I like it's also kind of interaction what you can really go on the ask. You can answer on questions for the customers. So this is the action I like.
Actually, you can really basically it's like being in a card shop, right? It's like you have your own, like as a seller, you kind of if you think about it, when you open, if tomorrow you open your own card shop, you're not going to have so many people coming in. Well, actually, because people might not be in the city, they might not be available, et cetera, right? And so the interaction is you have one-to-one interaction, but not so much. Well, actually, in the live, which is super cool, is you just open the live, you have 5, 10, 15, maybe 30 people coming in at the same time. And it's all already like becoming like kind of fair, and you're just, you know, having fun discussing with the people. People talk between each other, talk with you, you talk to them. And as you said, like you can really show the items, you can... Sometimes you see sellers that are they're just showing product they're not going to sell. It's just because it's part of their collection and they want to share, and people are super happy to see, like, you have this, you know, you have this this card that I've never seen before, or you have this which is signed by the player, or you have this Pokemon card that is, you know, signed by the designer, or this kind of thing. And that I think is something super valuable, and it's a kind of interaction you can't really have on you know, you can't have this on a regular website.
So if somebody decides, okay, I want to sell cards or whatever on Fox, can you lead us through the process real quick? What the person needs to do to get like a Fox show?
Yeah, so it's quite easy. Basically, you have to create your profile as a user, user profile, because the user and the seller are linked. And then you can apply to become a seller. We ask you a couple of questions, you know, to make sure that we want people that are at least a bit serious around what they're going to do. You don't want people that are just going, you know, here to just sell one card, or just that don't want to really care, or that aren't going to care about it, because it also takes a lot of time for us to set everything up. Mm-hmm. So we ask a couple of questions, then usually we call back. We have kind of a waiting list. Just the reason is everything is not yet automated, and we also want to have today this personal touch with the future sellers, just at least to, especially in countries with Germany, where we're just very new in Germany. We just launched 3 months ago. So we also want, you know the people that are coming in our seller community, and we want to guide them through to make sure that they understand everything and that they don't have bad surprise. So basically you apply to that. Then you're called back. We explain to you how to create your account, your seller account this time. We help you set it up. And then you can go live. And going live is actually very easy. And this is what I think one of the strengths of this, of the platform compared to, I mean, it's very easy, right? You just set up, you need just a phone and a phone to stream. You can stream from your computer if you want. If you want to go, you know, the Twitch like, or the YouTube like, setup. But if you want to, you know, try fast and do it low key, you can just stream with your phone. You need a computer to run your, to read the chat and run the auctions, or the sales. And that's pretty much it. And then we give complete freedom to the sellers on when they want to do a live, what they want to sell, how much it does. So it's really their, then it becomes their show. Mm-hmm. The idea is we really want to, you know, set simple rules that obviously you don't insult people. You obviously, you show the product right. You just, I mean, you treat people with respect, basically. But then out of that, it's your show. You do whatever you want. You just interact with the people you want. You can do your setup, et cetera. And it's very easy to sell.
Yeah, I can confirm that, because I go one time through this process. I had, or I think, 5 shows. Dennis was also one of our guests.
Big winner. I was a big winner on your show, Marcus.
Exactly. <Nice. laughs> And the good thing, you had the chance to also make a test stream, so that you're not now it's live, but you can before test it, and it's very easy to make the setup. So
I think we try as much as possible to really guide the sellers through their first show to help them. Obviously, it takes a bit of time, but I think that's also important. And what we see, and that is super cool, is now you see, and we see it more in France because it's we are older, but you also see it everywhere. It's people can ask other sellers, oh, how did you do it? How did you do that? And you see like you see the sense of community and help, because it's not so much like, okay, we're all competitors or whatever. It's like, the first thing is you're all passionate, right? Mm. And if you're on the platform, it's because you're passionate about the cards, whether it's sports card, Pokemon card, vintage fashion, sneakers, or whatever. Obviously, you're here to make a bit of money, to sell because you want to reinvest in your collection, etc. But at the primary thing is everybody's passionate. So everybody's very, you know, helpful to each other. And I think that's quite cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if everyone knows it, but also who doesn't know the platform, now you can also bid on products. It's not just you show the product and buy it. So you also have this kind of eBay feeling that you said, start the auction with €1 and then you decide what you want to pay. So I like this very, and that's the product set up. I have also an e-commerce shop, and to make the product set up and make the picture, the product description, and so on and so on. In there, it's very easy, just one line, set the price.
Yeah, I think that's exactly. I think that's one of the strength, and what people really like is because the video solve all of this kind of issue that you were saying. Like, if you want to show, you know, the card in a really good way, so you want to show the front, the back, the corner, the little, you know, silver lining, the all of this kind of the silvering, etc. that you want to show, it's very. If you want to take pictures, it's going to take, you know, 10 pictures with the, you know, heavy lights, etc. Well, when you do it with the video, you can do it in 30 seconds. You don't need to prepare anything, and you can just launch the auction, as you said, or the fixed price you decide, and people can just buy if they want, can buy at the right price. And I think that's something that people also like, is you can sell a lot of items in a very short span of time, because you know that in 1 hour you can sell, you know, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 items. And that actually that people really like.
Yeah, I think that the hobby community is a perfect space for this kind of business model, because like you said, it's about passion, and but it's also about being nice and kind to each other. And what we experience here in Germany is that the hobby community is very fair, very honest, very helpful with each other. Exactly. There's no beef or anything.
Yeah, and that we really saw from day one in France, and we see it in Germany, we see it in the UK, in Spain, in Netherlands. Really, like as you said, like hobbyists are really passionate people, and they really want to help each other. They want to protect each other. They want. So obviously, sometimes like not everyone agrees with everything, but like there is this common feeling of we're all here for the same thing, which is, you know, everybody wants to complete a set. Everybody wants to have, you know, the team wants to have the whatever. And I think that's when you see when people open, you know, when they break boosters pack or this kind of thing, people are very happy when someone else wins the rare card or whatever. They are happy for him or her. And I think that's what is really, really cool. And that, again, one of the reason of our not success, but our early good signals, let's say, is that people really enjoy, you know, sharing this moment together, because as you said, Marcus, like during COVID, etc., we kind of lost touch, and it's hard to meet. You have less and less, you know, gathering, etc. So you don't have this moment where you can just sit with your friends and just open a box of Prism cards or whatever. And this now you can do it unboxed because it's something you can do, and that's I think quite fun.
Yeah, I agree. What about the is there a collector Kevin as well, or is there just the business Kevin which has connection to collectors? Or is...
That's a good question. A funny question. So I wouldn't have called myself a collector. So as I said, we started with Pokemon, and it's something that I've already always liked. I was playing Pokemon when I was younger. I've always been kind of a gamer, and I'm also in, you know, I'm a big fan of anime, of manga, so I read a lot of these kind of things, etc. So it's a universe that I liked, but not so much of a collector. That being said, when we started, obviously, you know, first life, second life, you buy things because you want to support your sellers, you buy things because you want to test your product, and want to know, you know, is everything working? Is the seller shipping in a good condition? Because I want also to make sure that we have the right sellers for our community, etc. So I was, you know, starting buying things, etc. And at the end, like after 6 months, I was realizing, okay, I'm buying a lot, but a lot of bit of everything, you know, so it doesn't really make sense. And then I kind of have, you know, it reminded me of what I liked when I was playing Pokemon, and I remember like a couple of Pokemon that I really liked. And I said, okay, actually, what I want is I want to have a collection of these specific Pokemons. And I think since then, I've bought, you know, like 30 or 40 of these cards, very specific ones, and I'm trying to, you know, complete my set. So again, I was not at the beginning, but I'm starting to become. And I think now I'm very happy when I know, you know, I'm kind of picky about my collection. And I have a couple of sellers that, you know, text me everything every time they would sell something on the live. Like, earlier this yesterday morning, I received a message from one of our sellers. Say, "Oh, I'm going live on Wednesday. Look what I got for you, and like, and you can count on me. I'm gonna be there tomorrow evening, and I'm gonna bid on the cards for sure." So yeah, it's the Kevin collector is actually growing up, and that's quite, and I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. You know, when like this feeling of when you bought something and you wait, you know, 2, 3, 4 days for it to be, you know, delivered to your mailbox, and then you open the envelope, like it's super, very, very, like I'm like a child when I open the and I haven't received anything in the past, I think 3, 4 weeks, and I start to feel, you know, anxious about it. So now I wanna go back in the field. So what are you collecting, guys? On your like do are you collecting like specific things, specific players, specific teams, or like how do if I can.
Yeah, I think it's the bad thing is it's a lot of sports. It's basketball, football, soccer. Now it's also a bit ice hockey, so it's very broad now.
Yeah, there is no end to that.
It makes it not easier. But there's I think that's also, it's a long story now, but now short. The graded moments, it's also a reason why you have a connection to the cards, and maybe some special moments when you buy the cards, but also to the players on the cards. And there's one basketball player in the NBA, now not anymore. Now he's back in Germany. He played in the National Basketball League in NBA. But he's from Frankfurt, where I live. So this is
okay,
the
so personal you have this connection, yeah.
Collection, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm collecting LA Clippers because I was living in Los Angeles for a while, and when I was moving there, I'm a '90s guy, so of course you cannot be a Lakers fan if you were a Bulls fan before, so that's not an option. And the tickets were not affordable for me at the time to go to the Lakers, so the Clippers became my team. So that's nice. Why. Collect Clippers, but I also collect, like, I don't want to call it weird stuff, but I'm collecting stuff that, like, it's not that obvious, like stadium magazines, posters, like all the random stuff that you maybe find on eBay or flea market or whatever. So
I think that's what is really cool with the collector and these hobbies. And I met a lot of collectors around the past year and a half. Is like everybody has his own story, you know, behind why he's collecting. Like at the end of the day, everybody's gathering because they are collectors. But the story of how do you become a collector is very. I mean, I have people, you know, they're collecting. They were buying for their children.
Yeah.
And at some point, they become in love with the cards that they were opening for the children, and now they are collecting for themselves and this kind of thing. And that's actually super, super fun. It's everybody has like his own story, right?
Yeah, that's what we have in the podcast too. We like here in Germany, you have a lot of people who started in the '90s when NBA basketball was on TV for the first time, and suddenly Upper Deck had the NBA trading cards, and they were at every kiosk, every gas station you could get those cards. So a lot of people have that story. A lot of Pokemon collectors too, Magic the Gathering. A lot of people made their own business now, online shops. Several people opened a store. We had people who do big card shows over here. We had a big card show in Munich when we had this NFL a game in Germany. Then 2 weeks later, we had the first trading card show at the Comic-Con in Stuttgart. So
yeah, it's becoming more and more of a thing, right?
Yeah, it's growing and growing, but becoming more and more. So what are the plans for Vogt? Are you rolling out in other countries, or what's the
no
idea?
I think so in the next month, what we're really gonna focus on is really focusing on the countries we are in and the market we are in. So the five markets I was mentioning and the categories I was mentioning. So trading card games, sports cards, fashion and sneakers are basically, obviously, like other categories people can sell. But I think our focus is really to serve this community well. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to do the mistake of, you know, trying to do too many things at once and then doing nothing right. So it's better to be good in what we're doing. And for that, we want to be focused. I think the level of expectation of users, in every country is very high, again, because you're talking about passion. So when you're passionate, you're very intense. And that, I think, it's something we learned. I mean, we knew, but we learned and confirmed very early on. And that really driving us is we want to deliver a good value and a good product and a good platform for whether it's sellers or buyers, but also viewers, people who are just here, you know, to just have fun and enjoy. I think that's very important. So this is really our focus in making sure that we serve our communities in these countries well. And I think as you said, like, things are evolving, the markets are becoming bigger and bigger, so there are a lot still to do. We are still very early and we're very humble around that. Is we have launched, I mean, Germany, we launched, you know, in September. It's like it's infancy of the company, but even in France, if you think one year and a half is still very, very young. So I think there are a lot of things we can improve and we need to improve, and I think that's going to be our focus for the following month.
Yeah, I have that feeling as well, and was more in with you have a very good support here in Germany. Also, Max is there, a very good speaking person, and also you have the feeling it's test also still, of course, you're not so long on the market, that you also still develop and learn exactly from the customer feedback.
Good example of that is, for instance, when we launched, we didn't have PayPal as a payment option, mm-hmm. And we knew it would be complicated, but we had two choices. Basically, it was waiting. I don't know. We didn't know when PayPal would be available because it was not really depending on us. It was depending on PayPal itself, on other platforms, etc. So we had either the choice of not doing nothing and wait, or just going, trying, and just, you know, learning from the market. So we decided the first option, because the second option, which is going, even though we didn't have PayPal. And I think that was very interesting because, I mean, it confirmed to us that we really need PayPal, but it also allowed us to learn a lot from the German specificities, what people were willing for, you know, what do they like, what do they don't like, et cetera, et cetera. It helped us, you know, set up the team, and then we launched PayPal because it was the main feedback from the team and from the customers. And we launched, you know, a month later. But I think there's still a lot to learn. There are things that are common to every countries. There are things that are specific to certain countries, but we still need to do them. So I think it's a lot of things to unpack and to go there. But yeah, it's fascinating, right? Because again, a lot, like, you have a lot of countries, you have a lot of communities inside, because it's not the same thing. Like, even though you're a collector collecting vintage fashion, sports cards or sneakers, it's still different. So you have different needs. So you need to learn from all of these communities, and that's what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And then obviously develop other things for these communities.
Yeah. The topic was, I work for a soccer company here in Germany, and a soccer club, not soccer club. There was also we had also I want to initiate that we have there also the kind of live, and that was the question. How do you call it? Is it live? Because when I talk about, I always tell them it's home order television in internet, or that the people ask me then this, is there a calling, naming for this? Is it stream shopping? Is it live stream shopping?
I think it's either live shopping or live stream shopping, I would say. We usually say live shopping. I think that would make, or live commerce, if you want to say like larger. One way we sometimes use to make it very easy for people to understand, and you know, using the big names out there, is kind of Twitch meeting eBay. Mm-hmm. I think kind of things, because you have the live aspect of Twitch and the e-commerce aspect of eBay. Mm-hmm. But I think live is for us, it's like live shopping. Yeah. And I think that's like the core of what we do is around that, is around live, and live is the video, but it's also the sound of the fact that you speak, and the fact that people can write to you and that you can also write to them back. So it's like really this live in the sense that everything happens, you know, during that moment.
Yeah. Very good to know. Noted.
Yeah, I also like the platform. I think
thanks a lot.
It's time for me to sell everything here, including my mother's washing machine.
We'll be there, no worries.
I think it's time.
I think shipping is not going to be that easy, but I'm not sure it's going to go in the mailbox. But
if somebody buys my mother's washing machine, I'm going to bring it to the person. It's no problem.
You want to see you want to see the collectors of washing machine.
Yeah, very cool. So yeah, thank you so much for taking the time for us, and really good luck with this company.
Thanks a lot for having me again. Thanks for the people who are going to listen to me, and sorry if my English or my accent is not that understandable. But yeah, no, it was pleasure having you. Pleasure talking to, again, passionate and fascinating people. And congrats for all what you've done. I mean, you said you were telling me you were 70th episode.
76, I mean, 77, 76. Something. Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, I guess you have now like galaxy of connectors. It's like amazing.
Actually, so, I think we had the, I don't know, you mentioned the French podcast. Maybe they were also in our podcast already. The podcast.
I did a podcast with them, and they actually also did a live, a charity live on the platform. Mm-hmm. They did it from our office. It was super cool. Mm-hmm. Super good guys, honestly. Again, like, I mean, I think they told me, like, it's much smaller. The market is much smaller and the community is much smaller in France than it is in Germany or in the UK, but it's becoming something. It was quite cool to meet them. They were super good guys.
Great guys, very active, very passionate it's good guys.
And very knowledgeable. Like they know a lot of things. And I think at the end of the day, that's also something that I really love when I talk to collectors is, like, you have people that have so much knowledge about, you know, around the history of cards, history of things. And that's, sometimes you can just listen to people that are telling you the story behind an item for like 4 hours. And that's fascinating, I think. It's super cool.
I agree. Great.
Great.
So, have a great 2023.
You too, guys.
I mean, it's nearly done, but but we get through it. So greetings to Paris. And whenever you need help in Germany, call Marcus.
Exactly.
I will have Max calling you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll see you on live. I'll pass by on your live.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you, guys.
Bye bye.